Today is Wednesday, September the 19th. Do we say happy or holy Yom Kippur? Probably holy Yom Kippur. It's not Mary, certainly.
It's Yom Kippur.
It is indeed. And that's Tom Matson, Humboldt County Public Works Director. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Today, our Why Do They Say That is, you ready? Beside himself. Why do we describe a distraught person as being beside themselves?
Because they're not themselves.
Because the ancients believed that the soul and the body could part, and that under great emotional stress, the soul would actually leave the body. When this happened, a person was beside himself. The same thought is to be found in out of his mind and in ecstasy, too. Ecstasy is from the Greek and literally means to stand out of.
I can understand the out of the mind one.
Yeah.
I've been there a few times.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Comes with the title, doesn't it?
Yep.
And the funny little box they put you in at the end of the building.
It's not a cubicle.
No, it's a box. Oh, boy. So how's the construction season gone for you guys?
It is extremely busy with all the work going on with all the agencies. Getting a lot of contractors, a lot of good bids, unlike other areas down south where their costs are going through the roof. We've been holding pretty close to what we estimate.
How could that be?
We don't have as much money as like the Bay Area, where all of a sudden we all have this SB1 funding for road improvements. While it's a lot of money for us, comparatively to like the Bay Area, it's very, very little. And so they've got a huge amount of money without a huge increase in the number of contractors. And so we have to build the contracting industry up throughout the state in order to bring the cost back down.
So it's not a demand issue, it's a supply of available labor.
Right now it's a supply issue on the contractor side. There's just a lot of people that were good contractors and good workers, trade laborers, left the state during the recession. And now that we've been turning things back around and the economy is booming, it's a lot slower to grow an industry than it is to tear it apart.
It's an interesting, the referencing to the trades. You know, you hear that in the contracting, in the building, across the board, that there just hasn't been. Well, in California, certainly we buy into the snob factor too. You know, a 4-year degree versus a trade school. You know, one is, oh, your son or daughter has achieved, and the other one, oh, they couldn't qualify for school.
Everybody has
that
a different
perspective. Is a little bit kind of counterintuitive because, like you said, in the trades, these are the folks that are doing the do.
You know, everybody's got a different skill set. We all need carpenters, electricians. Those are things I can't do. I can engineer things, but if you tell me to put wiring together, I'm going to shock somebody, probably myself. There are people that are very, very good at that. And it's just, you know,
they're just not in this studio right now.
Unfortunately, we're moving into a technological world, which is leaving a lot of tradespeople behind. And I'm a brick-and-mortar person and living in a virtual world.
Is there an emphasis, Tom, do you sense either statewide or regionally, to do something to start or to reinvigorate or to encourage kids getting back into or at least the consideration of trades as a career path?
Well, there's a lot of effort at the state level to require job training for public work spending. And so when we go out to hire contractors, et cetera, there's starting to be a lot of pressure to make sure that some of those funds get set aside for job training so that we have future trade workers. And we bring people into the industry because it's a well-paid industry but it's got to be sustainable in the long term. You can't have a 2-3 years and then expect everybody to sit on their thumbs while there's no work for 4 years. They're going to go somewhere else.
So they're looking for, let's say, your department to offer scholarships? Or is this more of a mentoring apprentice or to give to the private sector?
It's more of an apprenticeship in the private sector end of things, to making sure that when they have people on, they're bringing in people and apprenticing them then on the, you know, working, bringing them up from having no skills at all to working them in to becoming equipment operators, things like that.
So would they get points on their bid if they were doing that kind of thing? Or are they actually talking about you take a percentage of the budget for whatever the grant is and you give it to them with the stipulation this has to go towards?
It's just starting in a lot of different things. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and I am not the expert. But the basic gist is, for some of our funding sources to award the bid, the contractor has to have an apprenticeship program going on. So they have to have an apprenticeship program, otherwise they can't get the bid because that's part of one of the bids.
So it wouldn't be a carrot, this is all stick.
You could consider it either way.
Well, if you don't have the program, you don't qualify.
Yes,
that kind of sounds stickish to me.
But if you get the program, you do. That's kind of carrotish.
Yeah. I guess it just depends on what part of the store we're in, huh?
Yeah, well, we don't really have, unfortunately, a lot of trade schools. Where people can, you know, get out of high school and go to an operating engineer class or school or training. We just don't have that. So we have to provide it in different ways. Otherwise, we're not going to have the quality people we need building our projects.
Now, what about your staff? When you're looking for somebody to fill in that, whatever the job position is there a requirement? Is there an advantage to having the on... Is it more of a do position, or is it more of a management over the private sector when the job occurs?
We have our own maintenance crews, which we start them from scratch, or we fly higher level positions. Generally, because of our pay scale, we train people that go on to Caltrans into contractors. We do have some long-term people, you know, our foremen have a lot of experience and they train our newcomers that are coming up. But we hire a lot just at the very beginning level with, you know, the basic requirement is within 4 months you have to have a Class B license and we train you to get it.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tom Mattson. Tom, so with a busy construction season and what is going on, you've got some of the dollars from the state now for the gas tax. What has that meant?
It's been huge to us. It's about a 33 to 40% increase in our road maintenance budget. So we've been able to, you know, farm out a lot of culverts. We've been doing a lot of road surfacing that we would not have been able to do. It's just been huge.
Where do we see it? I mean, is that why? Oh, I've got another question about that. Where do we see it?
Right now, you're seeing a lot of culvert work with it this year, but we've done some road resurfacing projects. In Hoopa this year, we did some. We have to separate. We're doing a lot with Measure Z funds, which will theoretically be Measure O next fall. But we post all those jobs that we're doing with either one of those road taxes. And, it, you know, we've done several in McKinleyville. We've done a portion of Old Arcata Road. We've got another portion of Old Arcata Road scheduled. We just did some maintenance paving out on New Navy Base Road. Now we're up on Neyland Road. So anywhere you're seeing road surfacing for the county, that's probably either Measure Z or SB1 funds because our basic funding didn't allow us to go that far.
The green on the roads. Oreck has got it. There's green also in McKinleyville. What is green on the side of the roads that's painted, I guess?
Ours is not a paint. It's a methacrylate, which is a concrete sealer mixture.
A dye, then?
Yeah, and it's really to delineate
different, you know, where bikes should be riding and not vehicles. It's a proven safety technology that's been out there for a while that we've been able to do just once in McKinleyville, but you're starting to see it a lot of other places.
Does it stand out that much as contrasted to like the yellow or some of the other different colors, or is this a highway code kind of color?
The contrast is before you could have a white line. And, you know, it's very easy to not notice a white line, for that white line to fade away. With the methacrylate, it'll be there a lot longer. It lasts a lot longer. And it just gives that visual, definite visual, where you're supposed to be when you're driving your automobile. And it is a little bit rougher. It's not really a rumble strip, but you can feel it when your tires get on it. And it's really a safety technique that's proven to work in reducing accidents and fatalities.
So it's accepted. It's just something that's new for our area.
It's new for our area because we just didn't have the money. That was, for us, it was a specific grant that we got through the Highway Safety Improvement Program from the McKinleyville area, so we didn't have to use our local money for it. But I know Caltrans mixes and matches a lot of their money. So like ORIC, that's State Highway 101, that's a Caltrans project.
And this is for bike lanes, so you're not going to see it on just the shoulder unless it's wide enough to qualify as a bike lane?
Well, we're just using it for bike lanes, but, you know, on 101 on the safety corridor, the Caltrans used red for the colorization on the shoulders for the same kind of purpose, to provide a very distinct visual barrier for the driver of a vehicle to see. And like it or not, these techniques actually do work, little by little, one life at a time.
So when we see polka dots, we know somebody's having fun.
I don't think you're going to see those.
Red and green polka dots. It must be Christmas.
There's a difference between educating a driver and distracting a driver.
Which would this be?
I think polka dots might be just a little bit distracting.
All right. Okay. As long as we don't see logos popping up, I guess we'll be okay.
We're not to selling our streets yet.
Now, you mentioned Z Monies. How is Z Monies, which was community safety, how does that get into the pool and the fund for road maintenance?
Well, roads were in the original legislation, and they are in the current in Measure O as well. And so we have to apply in competition with everybody else who applies. And we've had some pretty good arguments because our roads are in not really good shape most throughout the county. And that becomes a public safety issue when you need to get somewhere at 50 or 60 miles an hour and you can only do 25. And that, you know, response time is huge for fire and ambulances, especially in the remote parts of the county where our roads are in the worst shape. And so we consider it a public safety, frankly, a public safety issue, because Public Works is usually the first on scene to a lot of things because we're out there.
With those dollars, does it have to be road reconstruction? Can it be just seal? There's so many different degrees of road.
The Measure Z committee likes specifics. And so we have gone in there with specific projects. A lot of them are road sealing projects, slurry seals, the preventative maintenance. But we also, you know, in a horrible winter, we went in and asked for the money to be available for basic maintenance. And so we were able to hire some contractors and a couple of in-house people as extra help to do a whole lot of pothole patching that we couldn't have got to and we absolutely needed to get to. And so we were given that flexibility, but that was just with one certain pot of the money that we asked for. Other than that, you know, we go in there with very specific projects. We're gonna go do this from this section of road to this section of road, and that's what we spend the money on.
I suppose that keeps it cleaner for you guys as well as for them to make the determination.
It does that, but it also provides transparency because the public can look at us and say they did what they said they were going to do. And if we didn't do what we said we were going to do, they can look at us and say, don't give them any money. So we pretty much try to do exactly what we tell people we're going to do with their money.
Now, there are a number of roads that are under construction right now. You got Shelter Cove. I know there's been a lot of discussion about Alder Point, Bell Springs, that kind of stuff. Are those under your purview with the Measure Z, or are those different funds?
all the roads are all different funds. I could talk for the rest of the show on your different funding sources without even getting into them.
Well,
they all mix. And they
that
all
would be an exciting show. We'll have to consider that during the break. It's 8:30.
If you like abbreviations.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tom Mattson, Humboldt County Public Works Director. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and American Ag Credit. Tom, I think for a lot of the uninitiated, the concept of, we've heard categorical funding is kind of almost commonplace. Strings attached?
Lots.
Okay, we understand that one pretty easily. The concept that this is going to this specific project. Sounds good, but there's also a school of thought that says, well, if that's the case, there's no incentive to save any money because if you save, let's say, on a project of $10, you save a dollar, well, it's reverting back to the funding entity rather than you being able to take that dollar and apply it to another project that is maybe just as dire, but for whatever reason didn't quite qualify to get the funding through that source.
Partially true. There are some funding sources that are exactly that. You can do this to there and nothing different. And generally, those end up becoming underfunded projects and we have to add to them to make it whole anyway. Other projects like the new gas tax, the SB1, we go in with a report that says this is what we're going to do with the money. But the California Transportation Commission and the state law says you have to tell people what you're planning to do with that money. But at the end of the year, you have to come back and report what did you actually do with that money. So if I say I'm going to do a mile and my bid comes in and I can get a mile and a half, I'm going to do the mile and a half and I'm going to come back at the end of the year and report the mile and a half instead of the mile.
And that's okay.
And that's okay with that funding source. But like I say, there are other funding sources such as the Highway Safety Improvement Program. It is point A to point B. This is all you can do with that money, and you can't do anything else. And if you have money left over, it does go back. And there's not a problem with that because it goes back into the pool that we compete for the next time. And so there's different ways to do it. And then we have our basic gas tax, which we can spend any way we want to repair the roads, which covers your potholes, your ditch cleaning, your mowing. And so there's a different rule for every different source of funding.
You mentioned ditches a couple of times in the cleaning and the culverts. Do you have the culvert patrol? Folks, and that's what they do is they check out the culverts. They make sure that the sides are okay, maybe weed whack it back so we don't have, surprise fires and things of that nature. Is that kind of like what their basic job description is and they just are the experts in that throughout the county?
No, we don't have enough people just to focus on that. We will right now is the transition time of year that we are focusing on, making sure we're checking on every culvert we can, making sure it's open. You mentioned the fire. That's been coming up over the last couple of years of how important keeping the roadside mowed is to fire reduction. In fact, I have a meeting in the next couple of weeks with some people to talk about that, where there was recently a roadside fire and what we can do to maximize our use of our people and time to minimize the possibility of a roadside fire. Your biggest fires in the state of California this year were started off the side of the road with a metal chain link or a tire on the car fire.
Yeah, the dragging chain.
Tire, and yeah. Boom, you've got 200,000 acres burned. So it is a serious issue. But we simply don't have the people anymore on staff to do those focused kinds of things. And you mentioned the Alder Point Road earlier. We used to have four road crews just for basically the Alder Point Road. Now I've got one for 250 miles of road in southern Humboldt.
Four crews just for that one road?
Basically, there was a crew in Elk Creek, there was a crew in Garberville, there was a crew in Alder Point, there was a crew in Dobbins Creek, and a crew in Bridgeville. And so, you know, we went from 170 or 180 people back then to probably 60 out on the roads at any given time today.
It's just mind-boggling that there was that many for one.
But when you get when you get into big winter
significant
storms,
yeah, you need to throw people at it.
You know, you need to have people out there unplugging, because no matter what we have out there, when we get overwhelming rain, culverts will plug and roads will blow out.
Leaves fall and branches break.
Exactly.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
And dirt moves.
Yeah. Now, Bell Springs Road is one that is, I guess, talked about an awful lot. And it's kind of an intriguing workaround if 101 or when 101 gives out that's used. And yet that road really isn't designed for that purpose. Are there any special dollars that the state has got? And I know the neighbors in the neighborhood wouldn't be too excited about it, but to make that a more substantial road so that when it does get used periodically, it's safe, and when the folks who live along it use it during the winter, it's safe?
Unfortunately, that program went away some years ago. It used to be called the Federal Aid Secondary Road System, and there was specific funding put aside for roads that bypass state highways. So like Alder Point Road, when you look at some of the nicer portions of that, it was funded through that program because it was known that it would be a detour in the case of a closure. But if you notice nowadays, Caltrans doesn't post detours on their closures unless it's another state highway, because they don't want to, there's no funding for maintaining or those detours, and they're not built for the level of traffic of a state highway system. So Mendocino County Public Works and Humboldt County Public Works, we've worked together over a period of years to try to get that road to a higher quality of funding sources, but it's a long battle, and it's battling all our other roads. But we do understand. I look at that road, and I've got a number of other back roads that bypass state highways where I've known the state highway has closed in the past. I know that road's going to be used, and it's just a frustration of not having the money to build that road to handle the capability, but we just don't have those funds available.
So the feds don't have it. The state doesn't have it. I would think that instead of some of the construction projects in other parts of the state, maybe 2-3% could be shunted off to this kind of thing. Because, you know, if 101 goes down, 101 goes down.
Yep.
I mean, that's it, and that's it. Thank you very much. It's over. I mean, yeah. It just doesn't seem logical that there wouldn't be some set-asides specifically for that.
Not for county roads. Not anymore. Not a problem.
Yeah, another something for the assemblyman to deal with. Perhaps. KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 8:46. Tom Mattson still hasn't run out of the studio this morning.
I don't run anymore. I'm too old.
Yeah. Good old fleet of foot.
Yes, a foot.
A foot, yeah. How's the Shelter Cove project coming along? Is it on schedule? Is it where you were hoping it would be at this time?
It's where we thought it would be right now, and we've got the funding approvals from the federal agencies, so we're moving forward with the design for that, and we hope to go to construction next summer. That was our original schedule, and that's what is on schedule right now.
Now, we do have workarounds going on.
Yeah.
Okay, will they make it through the winter? Dave Hull was in yesterday and shared that they're anticipating an El Nino year. So we're going to get the wet. Okay, at least 75% likely. Will that one make it through?
We believe it will. And there are workable detours. They're not great, but there are workable detours. But it made it through last year, and we had our geotechs take a look at it, and we think it'll make it through one more year.
Three-year construction, is that a normal scheduling?
Well, it was a disaster project. So First off, there was
so
no,
you weren't geared up for it to start with.
We weren't geared up for it to start with. There was no money set aside to start with. For the first few months, you're talking with the feds about qualifying it for the funding. Can't do anything until you get the funding. Once we got the funding approval, then we could begin with the design. Well, you know, there's some things we did do immediately, stabilization, putting up K-rails, signing, things like that. But really going for a design and a repair, you have to wait for the funding to line up. So the funding finally did line up. We got the approvals. We've got an engineer on the design. We've had the geotechnical work taken care of. And so we're going to be putting out the bid, we hope, in the spring so we can construct in the summer. And that's actually for a construction project on a road in California. 3 years is a pretty good schedule starting from nothing.
Chomping at the bit to get it done?
Everybody out there is chomping at the bit to get it done, including us, because, you know, we don't like to have one-lane roads. I saw Santa Cruz advertised last disaster to the assembly. They sent off a picture of some of their roads saying, we don't drive on the left side of the road in Santa Cruz County. We drive on what's left of the road. And that's a perfect example of that, because half the road is gone.
You're going to remember that one, aren't you? Great positioning statement on that one. I mean, it seems to make sense. And unfortunately, I guess I always thought roads were sexy. So we must be warped, because you would think that this kind of stuff would be taking higher priority over some of the other ways that money gets spent.
It's very difficult balancing all the needs of all the people versus what my focus is. My focus is infrastructure. So I agree with you. I think it should be the number one priority. But there's a lot of people who don't. And so with limited resources, and, you know, there's never enough funding to fund everybody's wishes, and so we have to end up doing the best we can with what we can negotiate to be funded.
Have you figured out yet where SB1 dollars will be going for next year?
We programmed a number of culverts for this year in some overlays, but we are only putting out the work through November based on funding through November, because we don't know, because it's on the ballot as Proposition 6 for repeal. And so while we have projects for the remainder of the year, we have not planned out next year, and until after November 6, we won't even know if we'll finish up this year's projects.
Oh, the future. Ain't it grand? Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.